WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Chief Al Thomas defends the Charlottesville police in the face of criticism again after Saturday's violence there, and he expresses regret for the loss of life. Meanwhile, members of the community try to begin healing, and insurance providers in Virginia's ACA marketplace get shuffled a bit. And this is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, August 15th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College, offering small classes, student clubs, sports, and financial aid while living close to family and friends. Registration for the fall semester is happening now at the Weir's Cave campus or online at brcc.edu.
Authorities have not provided a crowd estimate for the Saturday rally of white nationalists in Charlottesville that descended into chaos. But two organizations that track hate groups says it was the largest white supremacist gathering in a decade or more. An Associated Press reporter and photographer who were on the scene all day estimated the white nationalist group at about 500 and the counter-protesters at double that based on in-person observations and photos, including some taken from just above street level. Virginia State Police spokeswoman Corinne Geller said she did not have a crowd estimate. Southern Poverty Law Center spokeswoman Heidi Byrick told the Associated Press the next biggest white supremacist rally her group knew of took place in 2002 in the nation's capital and drew around 300 people. Well, Monday evening, the Jefferson School's African American Heritage Center hosted a community conversation to talk about the weekend's events from a perspective of trying to move forward. A panel briefly discussed how to achieve healing and to take effective action to protect the community. WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini was there.
I want to start by just asking us all to just have a moment of silence, and I want us to reflect on the lives that were lost.
The Heritage Center in Charlottesville organized a community conversation moderated by Karen Waters Wicks. The panelists came from various organizations, such as the Office of Human Rights, the Blue Ribbon Commission on Race, Monuments, and Memorials for the City of Charlottesville, Black Lives Matter, and from the city's clergy collective. The evening revolved around coming together as a community, discussing how to help children of color succeed in school, and about making it clear that white nationalists are not welcome in the city of Charlottesville.
And what this night is all about is understanding where we have been, but more importantly, hearing from you about where you want to go. What do we need to do next?
This sparked lively conversations about the weekend's events between people who all needed to share their stories in the process of finding peace. Some of the recommendations of the night: compiling stories so as to know what truly happened, and reaching out to minorities to ask them how we can better help as a larger community. For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
Senator Mark Warner is denouncing the violent rally in Charlottesville over the weekend, Virginia Public Radio's Nick Gilmore reports.
Senator Warner did not mince his words about those responsible for the violence.
Just as the president had said before, he needed to call out and name Islamic terrorism, he needs to call out and finally did acknowledge that forces that are Nazis, white supremacists, the so-called alt-right, are absolutely domestic terrorists and need to be pursued to the full extent of the law.
Warner went on to say that he believes Congress has a big role in efforts to stamp out white supremacists and others.
I think the more we can show that our democratic system can still function and provide results, I think that will tamp down this kind of underbelly current of hatred, because a lot of folks turn to this because they feel so disenfranchised.
Additionally, Warner said that President Donald Trump also missed an opportunity to unify the country by delaying and specifically calling out the groups responsible for the violence.
Charlottesville Police Chief Al Thomas held a press conference about Saturday's rally in Charlottesville, and we'll have an extended report on that from Marguerite Gallerini in just a moment. But first, Virginia's largest insurer is pulling out of the marketplace created by the Affordable Care Act, but Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports another insurance company is stepping in.
Right now, Anthem's HealthKeepers plan is the only provider for much of rural Virginia, so the company's decision to stop offering health insurance could have been tragic news for hundreds of thousands of low-income people in Virginia whose health insurance is subsidized by the federal government. But there's a silver lining. Optima is stepping into the void and expanding its coverage into all the places Anthem is pulling out of. Jill Hankins with the Virginia Poverty Law Center.
Even with Anthem withdrawing from the market, every locality in Virginia will have at least one health insurance company offering health insurance through the marketplace.
Sabrina Corlett at Georgetown University says the political uncertainty in Washington is causing some companies to retreat, but she says others are seeing an opportunity.
We're seeing the free market at work to some degree, and where we're seeing some companies really seize an opportunity to perhaps grow their business.
Before it announced it was pulling out, Anthem was planning on increasing its premiums by 37%. Optima, on the other hand, will only be increasing its premium 9.8%. I'm Michael Pope.
Charlottesville's police department is again under heavy criticism. After last month's KKK rally, some blamed the police for taking an over-militarized, aggressive approach towards protesters. Now, some are saying the police erred in the other direction and in many instances of disorder, did nothing. Marguerite Gallerini reports.
On Monday afternoon, City Police Chief Al Thomas held a brief press conference at City Space. He pointed out several times that the alt-right crowd did not follow the plans, forcing the police to adapt. He also said a hotline was put in place to help investigate into what's happened on Saturday.
We're still receiving reports of assaults and additional crimes, and we're working with our state and local partners to investigate thoroughly any criminal or civil rights violations that may have occurred this past weekend that have not yet been reported.
City Council member Kristen Zegas felt threatened by the alt-right crowd.
Yes, I was at the morning service and the march to McGuffey Park, and then was at McGuffey Park. You know, I feel like our city was under attack. People came to threaten what we're trying to do here.
Beyond this, narratives differ between Al Thomas and people who were part of the counter-protest.
Throughout the entire weekend, Virginia State Police, Charlottesville Police Department intervened to break up fights and altercations among those in attendance at the rally site. We had to send our forces to multiple locations to deal with a number of disturbances in and around the downtown area. It took probably an hour to gain control of the streets. We had groups that were moving constantly. We were following a number of groups, ensuring that they were being peaceful. But it was a challenge.
Here's a take of Casey Landrum, who works at Charlottesville's Thomas Jefferson Health District and who was part of the counter-protest as well.
And it seemed like, no matter what we did, time after time, we just kept getting assaulted and attacked. And how come these guys were able to come here fully armed, ready for war? The cops showed up after each time something happened. They were not present.
Janet Johnson, a co-worker of Landrum, talks about the police being intimidating towards their non-violent group.
It was snipers on the rooftops of some of the buildings, and they had guns pointed down towards us.
Back at McGuffey Park, Landrum talks about an encounter with heavily armed white nationalists threatening their group as they passed by the park.
But he threatens this guy, they spit on this woman, and we ask the police officer who's standing right there, what are you going to do? And he's standing behind a barrier, and he's like, I can't do anything right now. That side of the barrier is Charlottesville Police Department. This side of the barrier is where I'm responsible. You are literally 10 feet away from somebody being assaulted, and you're doing nothing. And then he goes, have fun today.
Asked if he had any regrets in not having his officers better prepared, Al Thomas answered one thing.
Absolutely, I have regrets. We lost 3 lives.
Do you regret your actions and your decisions that day?
I explain what our regrets are. We regret this tragic day. We regret that we had a tragic outcome and we lost lives.
Casey Landrum was there when Heather Heyer lost her life. She was attending to her wounds.
We rotated her and they start doing compressions and making sure that we can give some kind of life-saving aid to her while we're holding her wounds at the bottom. And up come the cops and they're screaming in my face, get away from her, clear the area. And I said, I'm sorry, we can't go. I have to stay here. She's dying. And they actually told the volunteer medics to stop and leave. And I was like, why would you do that until there was a secure pass off?
And that's what I didn't understand. When they came like they were getting ready to start shooting. We're now screaming for medic, and you come pointing a gun.
We actually had one of the reverends step into the street and stop a police officer and say, you're going to have to let us handle our people, man, because you're just not doing it.
Right.
And he started corralling people because the cops were being violently threatening to a bunch of people who were just brutalized.
Here's another declaration of Al Thomas during his press conference.
We tried to give the individuals in the crowd who wanted to leave, we wanted to make sure that they were able to leave safely. We facilitated that process. We had a number of individuals who chose to remain and cause violence.
This is another claim challenged by Johnson.
When I wanted to go to my car, and I told them that I wanted to go to my car, and they threatened to say that if I was going to my car, I was going to get arrested. Where were they when they could have escorted me to my car? Could have said, well, here's the route you can take, or something. But it was, if you walk by yourself, or if you walk with a group of three or more, you're going to get arrested. So I had no choice. I was stuck.
I'm just really, really, really let down by our institutions locally. And I think a lot of this was preventable.
City Council member Zekas tries to find a silver lining to it all.
Yeah, we certainly are capable of having spirited disagreements among ourselves, and there are things that are, you know, problems in our city, and we work very hard to try to deal with those and certainly fall short sometimes. And to have people come from outside and just attack us like that, it's very traumatic. And I'm hoping that, you know, if anything good can come out of this, it will be, you know, that we're determined to kind of figure out how to move forward together.
For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Tuesday.